Let me read just a little bit of scripture right here. And chapter 12, the book of Zechariah. I read this to you the other night. In the 8th verse of the 12th chapter, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." I thought we'd just ask a question or two. He goes into chapter 14. I read it to you the other night. "His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Now, we ministered a little bit on that the other night, and we've commented a few times concerning the Lord's return. I think most of you will agree that the coming of the Lord is near at hand. I had some things that I thought to minister on tonight concerning the fullness of time, but I thought maybe we might just worship a little bit in song tonight and might read this and see if maybe you had a question or two that you would like to ask. Maybe there's a question concerning these things that we have talked about. For the last numbers of sermons, we brought out this about the end time. And some perhaps understand this and some don't. It just depends on how God deals with you. I know the wicked isn't going to understand this. I spoke of it as a day. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea in summer, and in winter shall it be." All right. Has anybody got any questions as pertaining to this? I've had a number of people that come to me with questions, and they've asked me in the last few days a number of things. As what I mean by some of these things, or what these things have to do with toward the coming of the Lord Jesus. So if there's something in your heart tonight that you're pondering over, well, now's a good time to ask about it. We'll try to answer it in few words. And if not, well, we'll come in on it. As to what is meant by the shortening of the days concerning the elect, and God said that he would shorten the days, unless he shortened the days, that there would be no flesh spared. What is meant by the shortening of the days for the elect? All right, now this is what I understand. He is principally referring to the time where he spoke of shortening the days, lest there would be no flesh spared. What does he mean by that? It's obvious that what he is saying is that whereas John looked and saw the devastation that was to come upon the earth, the devastating blows that would be from the atomic powers. And John said, "I looked and I saw the cities of the nations crumble." He is speaking of this time that when the bombing begins, or when the four winds are turned loose and all of these things begin to happen to the earth, that he would have to make a short work of this as through the tribulation period. Because unless he did, there wouldn't be any flesh buried. With the bombing and with all of these horrible things that are to come, and the devastating blows that these bombs would bring as to the destruction of mankind, that in a little while they would completely eradicate all human beings from the face of the earth. And because of this, he said, I've shortened the days for the elect's sake. I've shortened them that I might spare some people. And this is in general what he is speaking of. Right here we read to you where he said, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now he said here, I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And then he said, and I will pour out of the Spirit of grace upon Jerusalem. Now, what does he mean, pour out the Spirit of grace upon Jerusalem? He says here that he will destroy all of the nations that come against Jerusalem. It goes back to what we had explained about the three unclean spirits as frogs that would go out into all the world and would gather the kings of the earth, all of the rulers with their power and with their people, to this great battle of Almighty God. Remember I said to you the other day, the book of Revelation speaks of the one that sat upon the cloud that thrust in his sickle, saying, reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. This had to do with when Antichrist goes to kill the people. He will completely, thoroughly do away with everyone that will not come under the mark of the beast. Now, the Bible calls this a time of reaping. Blessed is he that dieth, or they that die in the Lord from henceforth, for they shall rest from their labors. See, at the time that he starts putting the sword in, there'll be so much blood, so many people killed, that this is called thrusting in the sickle. So when the one that is upon the white cloud comes out with the sickle in his hand, and the other one comes out from the temple of God and he says, cast in the sickle, this means at that time that Antichrist is going to begin to slay. He's going to begin to kill. This is the casting in of the sickle. And the grapes are fully ripe. That is, the decision is fully made that Antichrist is going to confiscate, and he's going to give everybody the mark of the beast to consolidate his kingdom. And anybody that rejects it will automatically have made up their mind to the full extent as to die for Christ. And these that die for the Lord, the Bible said, they'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So then that is the casting in of the sickle. Now, as to the reaping of the harvest, the Bible said, then there came out another one that had a sharp sickle. It was also said unto him, the one with power over fire, to cast in the sickle. For the vintage of the earth is ripe. Or that is, in the casting in of this sickle, it is the cutting down of the vineyard. He casts in his sickle, and he cuts down the vineyard, and he gathers the vineyard into the valley of Armageddon. He gathers it to the battle of the great God. Now, what is meant by this? It means that at that moment, God is going to come against the kingdom of Lucifer, or the Antichrist system that is in the earth. And he's going to gather the vines. He's not only going to gather the grapes as to them that has rejected him, but the war of this great battle is going to completely cut down the vine of the earth. That is, all of the kings of the earth are literally going to be slain. They're going to be cut down by the sword and with the war. Around the valley that some of you saw while you was over in Israel, and we may be going back over there in a few days, it looks like we will. Gathering around the valley, if you notice, some of you on my first trip, I believe it was, our guide David, he told us that all around this valley there is the seed of Gog and Magog, or he said Russia, and the Caesars. They're all around this valley, thousands of them so far as we know. So when the battle is ready, they can go right in on their horses. They are men that ride horses to battle. And this is why the Bible speaks of Jesus meeting them on a white horse, and you and I also on white horses are meeting them in the valley. And there the blood will run to the horse's bridle. What will cause the blood to run so deep? It is because that these three unclean spirits that we spoke of will go out into all the world, forming a Trinity doctrine and a Trinity way of life. And it will have to do with, not with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as a Trinity is one. And they are but one God. These three are one. See, but it will be a Trinity that will come through a religious thing and through a constraint of war. And it will be the dragon, it will be the beast, it will be the image. So these three spirits of these things will entice the kings of the earth to join forces with Antichrist and to give their power to Antichrist. Like it says of the ten kings, it says, and these ten kings, God will put it in their heart to give their kingdom to the beast for 1 hour. But they hate the beast, and they will burn the flesh of the beast and the flesh of the great whore with fire. So then this is the cutting down and bringing the nations into the valley. That is the casting in of the next sickle. It is the cutting down of all kings and all nations to where the kingdoms of this world can become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, that He might reign forever and ever. So in the cutting down of this, they will come like waves of the sea. From all over the world they will come. And they will come in, and as they come in, they will be slaughtered. Just moving in by waves to overthrow this little army. But they will be completely slaughtered until the blood runs to the horse's bridle. And in this, we spoke to you of the sea being dried up. As to the river that is being dried up to make way for the kings of the east. If you don't understand that, read in the book of Revelation and read about the vials. And you'll find over there in the vials, it says, and this river shall be dried up to make way for the kings of the east. That is to say, China, Japan, and all of those countries to where they can come right in. Come in like waves of the sea against Israel. And then I read to you here where he said, and I in that day will destroy all of the nations that come against Israel. Think about that now. All of the nations that come against Israel, I will destroy them. For the Bible said, he that toucheth Israel, he toucheth the apple of my eye. And all of the nations, including America, all of the nations that come against Israel, I will destroy them. So the Bible said when you see all of the armies gathered together against Israel, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Isn't that right? Daniel spoke of the abomination of desolation, which I brought out many things on this concerning the temple and concerning the defiling of the things of worship in America. But principally speaking, what he is saying, the desolation, the abomination that maketh desolate, will be when all of these armies gather against Israel. That will be an abomination in the sight of God. And in this abomination, they will make Israel desolate. They will come in and they will overthrow the country of Israel. They are already introducing their abominable things already. Israel has already took up the practice of these abominable things. And the nations of the world have went in over the land of Israel and done all kind of filthy, evil things. And he says, this is the abomination in the sight of God that maketh desolate. And Daniel said, when you see this, then you know that the end of the world is here. So the Bible uses the term, when you see Israel compassed about with armies, know that the desolation there is nigh.
That is when you see Israel compassed with armies, know that the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of is thus. Now, I've tried to make this real plain to you. I've tried to talk with you day by day and about the things and bring in the different things concerning the end time to where it wouldn't sound mysterious to you. People, they talk about these things all the time, and preachers preach about things all the time about the gospel. But I've tried to take my time like a father in the gospel or a minister that loves you as a person. And I've tried to break things down a little at a time to tell you what is happening and what these things mean that you might understand when these things transpire. So, we look at this particular thing, as Brother Taylor said, shortening the days for the elect's sake. We look at this particular thing of applying it as to the thrusting in of the sickle, and we can see what it means. And we can say, well, when, Brother Pike? How long, Brother Pike? How can these things be? Daniel said he heard an angel, and the angel said, and how long shall it be until these things? And it was for a time's time and a dividing of times. And we brought out to you as to a times 1 year, as to a time 1 year, as to times 2 years, more than 1 year, as to the dividing of times a half a year, or the dividing of a year, to say times 1 year, times 2 years, one time 1 year, times 2 years, and half a time 6 months, which means 3 years and a half, or 3 years and 6 months. See, that is, it shall be under this. That is, it has to do with the desolation period. When shall these armies come in around Jerusalem? Already they're getting ready. They're boycotting already. They're getting ready. They're getting ready to come in. So we would say, well, Brother Pike, where does that put us? We're going to watch and we're going to see this. But if it says it shall be for a times, for a times, time, and dividing of times, then what are we going to do about the translation? What about the translation of us going out of here? What about the translation? The times, time, and dividing of times has to do with the tribulation. Are we then planning to go through the tribulation? How is it that we can return on white horses if we don't get out of here to find the white horses? See, and I spoke of some things the other day as I was ministering to you. I said this to you. The Bible said, pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. How are you going to escape the things that's coming on the earth if you're going to stay here? Tell me, how do you escape those things that's coming on the earth? Anybody that doesn't take the mark of the beast will be persecuted. And only the woman will find a hiding place over there doing the times, time, and dividing of times. In the middle of the week, the child is caught up. See, what I'm saying to you is, what is the Lord talking about? Pray that you might be able to escape these things that's coming on the earth. What does he mean that you might be counted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth? What is he talking about? Where will I go? What will I do? Can I hide? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're going to be sealed. But it doesn't say anything about sealing the saints in through the tribulation. It says the 144,000 were sealed. But it doesn't say anything about the saints being sealed through the tribulation. At the sealing of the Jews, John looked away into heaven. He saw in the earth 144,000. And he saw the four winds of the earth as the southeast, northwest. And they were holding back the four winds of the earth as to those angels. And it was said that they were to hold them back. That is, I say, the winds of doctrine of communism, capitalism, these kind of things. Holding them back until I seal the servants of my God in their foreheads. And I say again, that doesn't mean the sealing of the people that's over in Israel. Those Jews are not going to be sealed that's over in Israel. I used the term the other night that many of them are renegades. I didn't mean that is evil, for the Bible said speak evil of no man. We've got a bunch of renegades here in America the same way. But I'm just saying, as to being children of God or being in harmony with God, that they are reprobates. And they're not going to be the ones that God's going to save. They're going to be the ones that's going to be driven out. And they're going to be the ones that the armies attacked. But the true Israelites, they're not going to be attacked. And the true Israelites, they're not going to be hurt. The Bible said the 144,000 will be sealed. They'll be sealed that not even the locust can hurt them during this tribulation period. And they'll be caught up to Mount Zion, 144,000, the house of Israel. Anything else coming through will have to go through the fire. I'll purge Jacob. I'll put him through the fire. So then we can see that a lot of times we misunderstand. So then, where did John see the church at that time? He said that he saw them before the throne of God, and he said these that he saw before the throne of God, they were without spot, wrinkle, or blemish the way he gives it, and that they followed the Lamb whithersoever he went. And it was said to John, and who are these? And he said, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they that have come up out of great tribulation and made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And there shall be no heat that shall ever fall upon them. And they shall not hunger, and they shall not thirst. For the Lamb shall lead them to fountains of living water. Now this is not the Jews. It's not the 144,000. Because John is looking at them in the earth. And then they are sealed to go through the tribulation period. And then they're caught up over toward the middle of the week. They're caught up to Mount Zion. But here he is near the first of the week talking about this. See, and those over there are they that are not defiled. They are virgins. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. But see, here we're talking about another people altogether. Of every nation, of every kindred, of every tongue. That couldn't be Jews. So then that has to be the saints of God. So we can see what the Lord is doing by looking at the Scriptures and understanding the Scriptures. That at the first of the week, there's got to be some people that's going to be caught away. There's got to be some people that's going to be hid away with God. They've got to be caught away like Jesus was when he was caught up with Moses and Elijah in glory. That's why that the revelation of Jesus Christ is being taught to you now. Why is the revelation of Jesus Christ coming to you now? It's never come forth before. Where did it ever come forth? Only in the days of Paul, when it was given there after Calvary to be Christ revealed. But then you would say, well, why wasn't it revealed, Brother Pike? Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ. John received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why wasn't it revealed? If it was given after Calvary, if the law and the prophets were until John, and then since that time the kingdom has been preached and everything is folded up and laid away concerning the law as to the letter that's killed, that killeth, why hasn't the revelation of Jesus Christ come forth? It has come forth as to the teachings of the seven church age messengers, as to down through the church ages as much light as was given, a little light in each age, and then at the end of the church ages, it comes in its sevenfold light. For the Bible said, in that day it shall be sevenfold, as to the moon, to the sun. See, as to the coming of the Lord, it said it shall neither be light nor dark in that day. It will be a twilight zone. See, because it has to do with the birthing of Israel and a nation coming forth, and the woman goes through the twilight zone. So, what I'm saying is this. See, we can see that the revelation did not come forth to where the church could grasp it, though it was given at Calvary. That was the fullness of time. And we would have commented more on this if we got started a little early. But see, the thing is, the church fell into what we call the dark age, where that not even the intellectuals of today, according to history, hath a thorough record of it. And because of the dark age, the darkness there is meant that the light of God was overshadowed with the veil of darkness, and that human beings became very ambitious, took over the church, and the Catholic or the Roman pagan system come in, and it caused the shadow to fall over the church, which was the darkness, and the saints of God were killed out, the dark age. So then in the dark age, they couldn't get no revelation much. It just all went out. And the teachings of Catholicism came in to bring in the Trinitarian era of religion that's in effect today. And leads on to not the precious Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, but leads on to not the church, not the saints, but the Bible said it leads on to a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means evil spirits, that it doesn't really take in the church. It becomes evasive, though it takes up a charismatic way of life, of praising and singing and the rain coming on the unjust. They have a good time because God blesses them when they say hallelujah. You know, the blood is on the seat of atonement. He can't see their sins. The blessings come upon them. The water does. And this is why the writer said it is so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. It is so close that when you see them getting blessed and them receiving healing and them receiving the blessings of God and them doing all the things they do, then you say, well, my God, God's with them, and God's with them the more, because the world receives them, because they go with their ball games and all kind of things. So the multitudes go after them. See, the multitudes follow after them. So it looks like that they are more in the right than we are, and that what they're doing is more enjoyable than what we're doing, and that what we ought to do is go after them. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So then in commenting on this tonight, we see the difference between the church and between the Jews, and we see why that you are taught the revelation of Jesus Christ, and why the revelation of Jesus Christ is coming to you at this time. Because the end of the world is here, and the revelation is coming to translate the church. It is the translation. Someone would say, no, 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 it is the translation. Someone would say, oh no, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I believe the scripture says this, and I believe it's like this, and that's art, that's your business. You know, you do whatever you want to. You say whatever you want to. You believe whatever you want to. But I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, it is the translation. And that's why God gave it. Because He is translating the saints of God into the kingdom of God and sealing them into the kingdom. And this was what John saw. The sealing in of these with the Lamb. Sealing these in, so that we can escape at the coming of the Messiah when He comes forth with the shout, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain at His coming shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial. And the Bible says, comfort ye the brethren. Comfort ye the brethren and sisters. Comfort ye the people of God with this saying, that we will be changed. He is coming. So you can see why that we preach the things that we preach to you. All right. I know that some of you will be disappointed if I go very long, because you're hoping for a quick release. And we're not going to disappoint you. This is for the hungry, and this is for the thirsty. All right, does that give any light on what you wanted to know, Brother Tom? Okay, that throws some light on what is being said there. We kind of went the long way around because there was two or three things that's involved in shortening the days for the elect. And we said a few things that it might be of some benefit to you. All right, let's stand together and we'll let you go home. We won't burden nobody with the word of the Lord. We'll keep this all to ourselves and go home so we can enjoy it. Just give it to the hungry and the thirsty. I praise the Lord for them that are hungry and thirsting after the things of God. Some are wanting to do something for God. One way or another, they want to do something for Christ.
And of course, this is the way. On the steel that we have down here, Brother Hollis just gave us an expensive steel cutting saw. It's going to be a real blessing to help us get everything in line with the buildings. And these buildings God has blessed us with, he said, occupy till I come. And somebody would say, well, why, Brother Pike, are you building buildings? Well, I'm building buildings for the Lord. Someone would say, well, I don't think you ought to do that with the Lord's coming as near as it is. Well, what are you doing with your money? You're buying cars and houses and lands and eating and drinking and buying clothes and spending and riding and visiting. I believe I'd rather do what I'm doing. I think it'd be better. So then, I thank God for his blessings and for what he's doing in his kingdom. And we're just going to keep on doing that. Had a man X amount of years ago, he come by, and my brethren was real tired, was outside, and kind of muddy and dirty, and of course some of the preachers, they don't understand, you know, when they come by and see us like that. But nevertheless, we was sitting on a log outside, had a little campfire going, and pouring cement and building and working. It was cold, rainy, dirty, you know, as it is sometimes. And that particular night, it was cold. This man came by and he kind of mocked. You know, he's supposed to be a Brother Branham follower, and he kind of mocked because they were going on with the Lord and we were building a building, and he went off and kind of a jester. But I said, we'll just keep on building. He said, occupy till I come. That was years ago. Now the Lord is at hand. Brother Branham said so, knowing that they misunderstood. We just went right on. Since that time, we built our buildings and we've reached many thousands of people by the use of these buildings. That man went right on to become a dope addict, tried to commit suicide two or three times, because he went right on after mocking us, and he built himself a nice, beautiful home, from what I understand. He went after the world, and he got himself a good income. You know, the Bible said, and they say, it is not time to build the house of the Lord. So they let the house of the Lord lay waste, and every man runs to his own house. He does his own thing, and he mocks us. The bond child always mocks the free child. Always he does it. In his mind, he always finds fault with the child of God. But we just go on anyway. It's a matter to us. And today, the man is in a terrible circumstance because he didn't have the understanding of God. So we'll just keep on keeping on. I thank God for people who contribute to this cause, whether it's tools or whether it's finance, whether it's prayer, whether it's fasting, whether it's giving of their strength or whatever it is. I thank God for it, and we'll just keep on keeping on until Jesus comes. I'd much rather he'd find me trying to build a building for him and trying to win a soul than find me doing my own earthly thing, Achunda. Of just frolicking around, you know, and doing what we call make a living and feed our family and make provisions for the flesh and for the tummy. So we'll just go on doing what we're doing, and the Lord, he'll just go on meeting the needs. And if anybody, wants to come and help us, well, you're welcome to do it. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep for my soul. For my rest it is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's sing this chorus together. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Sing it with me again. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown. Can you sing it with me? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown. Sing it just one more time. So they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. The Lord is wonderful. Let's sing this song. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Can everybody just come on down to the altar tonight? He is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's just slip our hands up together. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And as I said the other night, if you and I tell everybody who Jesus is, then everybody will know who Jesus is. But if we don't tell him, like the song says, go out into the highways and tell them. If we don't tell them, then they'll never know. But if we do tell them, then they can know who Jesus is. Let's, here at Bethlehem, let's tell them. Brother Stevie Beachy was telling me the other day, he said, Brother Pike, I'm withdrawing from some of my active things in the world, and I'm going to give more time to the printing. He said, I'm running way behind, but I'm going to do more for God. And this is what we need, because if Stevie will take that outlook, and Brother Pike will take that outlook, the others will take that outlook, then we can do more for Jesus. And we can tell the world about God, and we can send thousands and tens of thousands of pieces of literature into the foreign fields, all because we care, and all because we labor together. It's going to take the men and the women. It takes all of you to labor with us. We can't just do this just with the men, folks. It takes men and women laboring together. The need is great. It's tremendously great, and it's growing all the time. So we have need of everyone that we can get. And then go out into the highways and hedges and tell them about what we're doing and compel them to come in. The Bible said that my house might be filled. Find somebody, persuade somebody, tell somebody, create an interest in their life to do something for God. They go on day after day and they don't know, unless you interrupt their chain of thoughts and remind them that the end of the world is here, they don't know. Folks, you know. You know that it's nigh even at the door. You know that. The things that I told you, it's nigh even at the door. You see it already coming to pass. If you can look at those things and still not understand, then there's only one thing that can be said of you, and that is that you don't have the Spirit of God. For the Bible said the wicked shall not understand when good cometh. And that means that you don't have the Spirit of God. If you cannot understand, then you don't have the Spirit of God. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and the Bible said they cannot understand the signs of the time. So then if you can't understand these things that we're saying, then Satan has blinded your eyes. For the Bible said, even the eyes of your understanding. For the Bible said, if these things be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Those of whom Satan hath blinded their eyes, even the eyes of their understanding, that they should not see when good cometh. So then, standing here tonight, while we're considering these things, I'm going to ask Brother John Jameson to come up and pray with you. And while John is coming, I want you to seriously consider what I'm saying, because the end of the world is here. You'll see it more and more as the days go by. You'll see it. Some of the others won't be able to see it because they're not given. They're not given to the things of God. And they won't be able to see it. It'll just be right upon them. And as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. And they won't be able to see it. But as children of God and as children of light, you're going to see it.